there is nothing wrong with being skeptical about Jesus as long as you are honest enough with yourself to admit that the evidence is overwhelmingly in support of Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world.
Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Welcome to the Voice of Truth, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. We believe that all scripture is profitable to those who open their hearts and minds to hear what the Lord is trying to say. So let's join the congregation and listen in to this message from Pastor J.D.
Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2? This chapter is one of those, as we've started off with just the very simple stories that lead to the gospel of Jesus Christ and his birth. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, let's begin this morning at verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. The title of this message, What Are the Odds? What are the odds? Now I realize this seems like a strange or an odd title for a Christmas message, but don't pass judgment too quickly. I believe that by the time we come to the end of this message, you might agree that the title is very appropriate. What are the odds? You know, we usually think of odds in terms of a betting or a wager, and it doesn't seem appropriate that in church we would be talking about odds. But the word odds is actually another way of expressing the mathematical expression that we know as probability. And probability, in turn, is one of the principles that lie at the heart of much of scientific study. According to the dictionary, probability is a measure or estimation of likelihood of occurrence of an event. The outcome of the event is measured in percentage, and the percentage is based upon the number of possible outcomes. As an example, if you toss a coin in the air, there are only two possible outcomes. It may be heads, or it may be tails. So the probability of the coin landing on tails or heads is equal at 50%. Now that's a very simple illustration of probability. The use of probability in the field of science has been developed over the past few centuries. In fact, the scientific doctrine of probability dates all the way back to the year 1654, advanced by none other than the great mathematician Pascal. Now, you may be asking, what does all this have to do with the Bible, and specifically, how does probability fit in with the Christmas story? Well, last week, the title of the message was Why God Loves Simplicity. The birth of Jesus Christ, the shepherds in the fields, we discovered the simplicity of God. But simplicity, if you look at the scriptures, is nothing more than a wrapping for something that is much more complex. As an example, the Bible declares that the heavens declare the glory of God. God uses the brilliance of his heavenly creation to convey the message that exists, that there is only one creator, and that that one creator created all things, and the heavens just declare the glory of God. And the message of God's glory in creation, it's so simple that the pygmy in Africa in the most remote regions can look up in the sky and they can see the message of God, that he exists and that he created, and that's the glory of God in creation. Yet, the heavens themselves are far from simple. Our scientists have been studying the stars now for centuries, And even with all of the advancements in technology, they know so little relative to all there is to be known about the heavens. But one thing that is known about the heavens, the stars, the galaxies, did you know that they're based upon mathematical models? And the mathematics of the stars has been studied for thousands of years. It's called positional astronomy. Positional astronomy, and you know, for centuries, astronomers, sailors, explorers have used positional astronomy in calculating a precise location long before we had GPS, long before we had iPhones, long before we had these little miraculous maps that just tell us where to go. They used the mathematics of the stars to determine their position. So we discover complex mathematical calculations in the stars, and yet they declare the incredibly simple message that God exists. Now, the same is true of the birth of Jesus Christ. We've been studying over the past few weeks such simple stories, and there are stories that are so simple that even our youngest children can understand. Our little daughter, Sarah, she understands. She's only 6 years old, but when I explain to her the shepherds out in the field, and when we talk about the birth of Jesus Christ laying in a manger, she understands and she can relate to those stories. And yet, the simplicity, it's really a wrapping, and underneath the wrapping, you will discover that there is a great deal of complexity. And so this morning, we will look at the birth of Jesus Christ through the lens of the science of probability. What are the odds? Now, the story, very simple. We learn from this account of the birth of Jesus Christ, written by Dr. Luke, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem to Mary, who was still unwed and had not yet had physical relations with any man. In other words, Mary was a virgin. The story also relates the fact that Joseph, though not the biological father of Jesus, but still the paternal father of Jesus, was of the lineage of David. And the other Gospels contain many other facts about the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, if you go through the Old Testament, you will discover that everything about the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is firmly rooted in the Old Testament as God revealed the details to holy men called the prophets. The prophets wrote down everything that God told them about Jesus Christ, and there are literally hundreds of prophecies that were written about Jesus hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. All of the details of his birth, his death, his resurrection, even his earthly ministry were clearly given so that when he came into the world, when he came, there would be no doubt that Jesus is the Savior that God would send. Isn't it true that we appreciate positive identification? Positive identification, and we need that identification so that we might know who the Savior is. You know, actually, truth be told, there have been many that have come. There have been many false Christs, and the Bible predicts that. But God provided positive identification of Jesus Christ through the prophecies. Well, we all understand the importance of the verification of identification, don't we? Imagine with me for a moment, if there was no need for verification procedures in place in our society, you know, imagine, would anybody put their money into a bank? Would anyone place their money in a bank knowing that someone else could just walk in the door and identify themselves as being you and take out all your money? So Joe Smith, he walks into the bank and he says, well, my name is Warren Buffett. My name's Warren Buffett. I'd like to withdraw $200 million. And so the banker just said, here you go, Mr. Buffett. Here's your $200 million. Next customer, please. Now, would anyone place money in the bank if there was no need to verify the person who came in the door asking for money? You know, we need verification, even in our society. Now, the salvation of humanity is of much greater importance than all the money in the world. There would be only one Savior, only one Savior, only one man sent by God into the world to save people from their sins. And God desires that any person could know proof positive who that one man would be. So God had men write it all down beforehand, and I must say, I believe God did it in just an incredible way, because there can be no mistaking prophecy. It's impossible to forge a prophecy. You can forge a birth certificate. You can forge a driver's license. You can forge just about any legal document, but you know it's just impossible to forge a prophecy. Prophecies offer infallible proof. The ancient prophets wrote about where Jesus would be born. The ancient prophets wrote about who his mother would be. They wrote about his suffering. You know, there's even a detailed prophecy in the Word of God which gives the exact calendar day that Jesus would make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And that's fascinating to me. There's also a detailed description of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ hundreds of years before crucifixion was even invented as a method of execution by the Romans. Now, isn't that incredible? So what exactly is the science behind all of this? Well, the science is probability. Probability. What are the odds? What is the chance that one man could fulfill any given prophecy? What is the chance that one man could fill even a group of prophecies? What is the chance that one man could fulfill 464 prophecies in the Old Testament? What are the odds? That's what we're going to look at. So let's look this morning at the probabilities. Now, I know that people say, well, I don't need to see that because I have faith. You know, faith is very commendable. You must have faith to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The disciples had faith, and yet Peter wrote that his faith was confirmed because of prophecy. And so let's look together at the odds. Now, I would have done the work myself, but fortunately, there were 600 students in 12 different classes at Westmont College in Santa Barbara, California. They did the work on this under the guidance of science professor Dr. Peter Stoner. And I'm going to share with you some of the results. What are the odds that Jesus Christ is the Savior who was prophesied about some 456 times in the Old Testament? This group of students carefully weighed all the factors. They examined all the known evidence. They discussed at length the possibility that a group of men could possibly conspire together in order to fulfill a particular prophecy. They made their estimates, and they made them conservatively. They wanted to convince even the skeptics. You see, there were skeptical students within those classes. I've always appreciated research that incorporates some skeptics. You know, the Bible has skeptics too. I'm sure you've all heard of the model skeptic, the best known skeptic of all time. What was his name? Doubting Thomas. He was a great skeptic. You know, there is nothing wrong with being skeptical about Jesus as long as you are honest enough with yourself to admit when the evidence is overwhelmingly in support of Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world. Finally, after the examination was complete, Dr. Peter Stoner, he submitted his findings to the American Scientific Affiliation. They carefully reviewed Dr. Stoner's findings. They reviewed his work and they concluded that his calculations were dependable in regard to all the scientific material that had been presented. Now, Dr. Stoner and his students, they examined only 8 prophecies. Just 8 prophecies out of the 456. One of those prophecies, in fact, we find in our text this morning. Look at Luke chapter 2. Look down at verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. According to this account of his birth, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, 800 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, a prophet by the name of Micah, who lived in a little village in Judea, he heard this from the Lord and he wrote it down. Listen carefully. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old from everlasting. So Dr. Stoner and his team of 600 students, they determined the average population of Bethlehem from the time of Micah to the present, and they divided it by the average population of the earth during the same period of time. They concluded that the odds of one man being born in Bethlehem was 1 in 2.8 times 10 to the fifth power, or you can just round it off to 300,000. 300,000. Now, they performed the same analysis on just 8 out of the 456 available prophecies, and here's what they determined. They conservatively estimated that the odds of one man fulfilling all 8 prophecies is 10 to the 17th power. Now, how many of you know how big that number is? 10 to the 17th power. That is a 1 followed by 17 zeros. Wouldn't you like to have that in your bank account? 10 to the 17th power. That's a big number. So what are the odds that one man could fulfill just 8 of the Old Testament prophecies that Jesus would fulfill? Well, let's illustrate it like this. We all know what a great and grand and glorious and a large state the state of Texas is. Imagine covering the entire state of Texas with silver dollars to a level of 2 feet deep. Now, wouldn't you like to have that in your bank account? The total number of silver dollars needed to cover the entire state would be 10 to the 17th power. Now, if you chose just one of these silver dollars and you placed a big X on it, and then if you flew over the state of Texas and you dropped that one silver dollar into the 2-foot mass of silver dollars covering the entire state, and then what would the odds be if you blindfolded a man and you instructed him to travel anywhere in the state he desired, stop along the way, wherever he wished, reach down into that 2 feet of silver dollars and pull out a single silver dollar? The odds are 10 to the 17th power that he would get the right one. That is the chance that one man could fulfill 8 prophecies. Jesus has easily fulfilled 8 of the Old Testament prophecies just in the account of his birth alone. But there's more. In another calculation, Professor Stoner and the 600 students, they used 48 prophecies. 48 of the 456 prophecies. What are the odds of one man fulfilling 48 of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Savior of the world? It turns out that the odds are 10 to the 157th power. Now, do you know how big that number is? That is 1 followed by 157 zeros. How big is that number? Well, it's such a big number that you can't use silver dollars. 10 to the 157th power is such a huge number that we have to use something that is smaller than an atom. The class chose an electron. An electron. How many of you know how small an electron is? Well, unless you have a microscope, you would never know. Let's begin by looking at the size of even a single electron. They are smaller than atoms. If you take 2.5 times 10 to the 15th power of them, if you laid them side by side to make 1 inch, now, suppose that you could count 4 electrons every second you counted day and night, it would take you 19 million years. 19 million years just to count 1 inch worth of electrons. Now, how many of you have a spare 19 million years? That's a huge number. Electrons, extremely small. How many electrons would there be if you're dealing with 10 to the 157th power of electrons? Well, imagine building a solid ball of electrons that would exceed or extend in all directions from the earth to 6 billion light years out. All directions. The distance in miles of just one light year is 6.4 trillion miles. There would be a big ball, and that ball would be so large it would be so large that it still is not large enough to be 10 to the 157th power of electrons. So in order to do that, you must take the big ball of electrons reaching out the length of 6 billion light years long in all directions. You must multiply that by 6 times 10 to the 28th power. Now, how many of you can do that in your head? Anybody here? I thought Brian would do that. He's off today here. How big is that? Well, it's the length of the space required to store trillions and trillions and trillions of that same gigantic ball and more. In fact, the space required to store all these balls combined together, it would just start to scratch the surface of the number of electrons that we would need to accurately speak of 10 to the 157th power. Now, I realize that we've reached a number here that is beyond the comprehension of all of us, but there is more. If you were to mark a single electron, if you were to drop that marked electron into the mass of electrons, and if you stirred them all up, now, if you were to appoint someone to get into a rocket ship, if you had them travel across the trillions and trillions and trillions of light years of electrons, and then you have them segment off a small part of space, if you have them take out a high-powered microscope, and if you were to have them to examine and to find a single electron, and if that electron happened to be the one that was marked, that is the odds of 10 to the 157th power. That's the odds of one man fulfilling 48 prophecies from the Old Testament, 10 to the 157th power. Well, let's give you one more illustration to demonstrate how big the number 10 to the 157th power is. If you could find a very slow-moving turtle, very slow, this turtle is so slow that it takes the turtle 15 billion years just to move one inch. Now, I thought my son was slow when he's getting ready for school in the morning, but he's not this slow. 15 billion years to move one inch. Now, our universe is quite large. However, if you took all the atoms, 600,000 trillion, 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 trillion universes of our size, how long would it take for the slow turtle to move each atom one at a time on his back 30 billion light years away? Assuming that the turtle only moves one inch every 15 billion light years, it would take 10 to the 157th power. That's the size of the number that we're talking about. Can you even imagine a number that size? I can't. However, those are the odds that we're speaking about of one man, just one man being able to fulfill 48 different prophecies concerning the Savior in the Old Testament. And you know, Jesus, there's 456 prophecies. Jesus easily fulfilled 48 of the Old Testament prophecies. He fulfilled those prophecies in his birth. He fulfilled the prophecies in his death. He fulfilled the prophecies in his earthly ministry. And of course, we know that the prophecies will be fulfilled as he returns for his church. Now, the purpose of prophecy is to prove the positive identification of the Savior. And that is why over and over and over throughout the Scriptures we read in the New Testament concerning Jesus Christ, so that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by what? The prophet. That which was spoken by the prophet, Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. Calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of the voice of truth.